opportunity to be given two opportunities to speak to a group, because just get to kind of share a bit more, and you don't feel like you have to cram it all into one talk. And I obviously can't have been that bad this morning because you're all still here. So that feels good for me. I feel a bit echoey. Can we just turn me down slightly? Thank you very much. Yeah, that's better. Wonderful. So if you remember, the theme I was given to talk about was knowing God's mercy and discerning his will. And so this morning, as I said, we're very much looking at what it meant to know God's mercy. And so this afternoon, we're going to move on and we're going to be thinking about discerning his will. And I love that Father Stefan and Rachel both mentioned the crazy things that can happen when you say yes to the Lord, because it's true. But if you remember, this morning we were talking about mercy being undeserved, because if it was deserved, it would be justice. How we need to experience God's mercy for ourselves and allow it to change us, and how we cannot live an unexamined life. And that's because, as I was beginning to touch on this morning, often the areas in our lives where we experience God's mercy the greatest are the areas where he wants to use us to bring others freedom and mercy and experiences of his love. And so it's really important that we go there with the Lord. Sometimes it can be difficult, sometimes it can be joyful, but we go there with the Lord for the sake of ourselves and for the sake of others as well. And it's important because the root of all discernment is knowing that God is good, faithful, and trustworthy, and that I am loved just as I am, not because of anything I do, but just because of who I am. And I love that we sang that in Mass today, the song Good, Good Father. That is, I've prayed with that a number of times, and it is a truth that I have to let sink deeper all the time, that he is a good, good father, that's who he is, and I am loved by him, and that's who I am. Not because I give talks, or I work with young people, or I am a nurse, or whatever I do, it's not about what I do, it's because of who I am. He just loves me. Just love, 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 love. Love, love. And the thing, the reason why it's so important to know that is because if I don't truly believe it, if I don't truly believe that God is good and trustworthy and that I am loved by him, I'm never going to trust either what he says to me or what I desire for myself. So that's why it's so important that as the basis of discernment, we know the goodness of God and his love for us. Because discernment, it's one of my favourite topics, but I promise I won't talk for too long. It's about letting God into our, at its very basic level, it's about letting God into our decision-making processes. Surrendering to his will. Not just enduring it, but actually embracing it joyfully. So not just enduring and putting up with what God gives us and puts in our way, but joyfully embracing it and saying, yes, whatever comes, Lord, I'm yours and I'm going to do it for you. And it's one of my biggest bugbears at the moment is that the church doesn't really teach people to discern. Until maybe they kind of express an interest in priesthood or religious life or marriage, and then you get a little bit of accompaniment, but not much other than that. And you have to kind of go seeking it for yourself. And I feel very privileged. The Lord has put great people in my life to walk alongside me, to challenge me, to bring wisdom into my life, to help me to discern and to learn to discern. But discernment's so much bigger than just those life questions of vocation, of marriage, priesthood, and religious life. And it's so much more important than that. It's an everyday way of being with the Lord that changes everything. When we really enter into discernment, it really changes everything, because we are constantly reminded, as I was saying this morning, that everything is gift from the Lord. And so therefore everything belongs to him, and we need to steward it in the way that he is asking of us. And think about that unique fruit that he has planted us in the world to bear. Sometimes we can go into this habit of praying before a meeting or before we do something and asking God to bless it. Occasionally we might spend some time listening for a word to inspire or guide us. And that is all very good and important. But discernment is like another level of listening beyond that. It's like a contemplative conversation with the Lord, that we're kind of taking notice of our thoughts and our feelings, where God might be guiding in the little things and in the big things. And often, it's about what we desire, what we're doing, but also what God is doing and what God wants for us. And often we discover that God is already at work and he is inviting us to be part of it. So rather than us planning something and asking God to bless it, actually God is already at work in the world around us. And we are invited to seek that out, to take part in it, and to find our place in God's bigger story of salvation for the world. Because he is the initiator. It's not our initiative. The kingdom is not our initiative. It's God's initiative, and we're invited to be part of it. So he has a specific mission and purpose for each of us within that. Only we can fulfill that specific, unique fruit that each of us is planted in the world to bear for him. It's also why I was so happy. I don't know if you've read this yet, Pope Francis's encyclical Apostolic Exhortation, Gaudete et Exultate. It's amazing. Read it. Basically, he wrote my entire talk. Everything that I wanted to say is his final chapter in here. He's written the final section is on discernment. The whole thing is on the call to holiness in today's world, but the final section is on discernment. And he says that discernment is, it's more than intelligence or common sense. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit, and it's not just for grave decisions, but it's for the everyday. He says, we need it at all times to help us recognize God's timetable, lest we fail to heed the promptings of his grace and disregard his invitation to grow. It involves striving untrammeled, it's a great word, untrammeled for all that is great, better, and more beautiful, while at the same time being concerned for the little things, for each day's responsibilities and commitments. It has to do with the meaning of life before the Father who knows and loves me, with the real purpose of my life that nobody knows better than he. We must remember that prayer for discernment must be born of a readiness to listen to the Lord and to others and to reality itself, which always challenges us in new ways. Discernment is not about discovering what more we can get out of life, but about recognizing how we can better accomplish the mission entrusted to us at our baptism. Wow. this is our Pope speaking. This is Francis saying, this is what life's about. This is what life's about. This is what discernment's about. This is what listening to God in our lives is about. It's about striving for what is great, better, and more beautiful. So the big picture, whilst not forgetting the day-to-day responsibilities and commitments. It's about bringing our meaning and purpose to the Father who knows us better than we know ourselves. And it's about not saying, what's going to bring me the most pleasure and the most joy? How can I get the most out of this life? But how can I better fulfill and accomplish the mission that God has placed on my heart and in my life? For many of us, we probably still need to discover what that mission is. That's part of the process as well. So Pope Francis basically wrote my talk for me. I could stop there, but I want to talk to you a little bit about how this has really grown in my own life. It's taken me so long to learn some of the things that he's talking about, and yet there's something in there that tugs at my heart when I read it. Do you ever get that? When you just read something or you hear it and it just, in some kind of way, you just know that it's got bigger implications for your life or for the world, or you just want people to grasp it, or you need to grasp it. And that's what I get when I read this chapter on discernment. And last November I went to visit, I've got some wonderful, wonderful friends, Catholic friends in Louisiana in America. Woo! New Orleans. And I went over for Thanksgiving. So I went to spend Thanksgiving with my American friends, my adopted family over in the States. Surrogate family, maybe my other word, anyway. And I was sat, it was beautiful weather, it was about 21 degrees, there was a nice breeze, and I was sat on the north shore of Lake Pontchartrain. It's a great name, which is the lake that is north of the city. So, and some of my friends live and work on the North Shore. So I was sat by the lake and I was reflecting on the last time that I had sat in that position. And it was 2 years previous to that, that I had sat on the exact same bench looking out over the lake whilst I was there. And in my heart, I was asking the Lord why it felt like nothing had changed in that time. And I was so sad and frustrated at first to realise that I felt like nothing had changed. That I had gone for 2 years seeking the Lord and I felt like I was in exactly the same place. And then I realised that really nothing had changed because the desires of my heart were still the same. And in lots of ways, the desires of my heart have been the same for years. But I was a very different person. I had the same desires, but I was in a different place. And so I began to think about this. Because I had explored a lot of those desires last time I was there and realised, yeah, deeply in my heart what I was seeking and what I thought God might be asking of me. And then at Easter this year, a friend had a word for me. The same friend that ended up praying for me in the summer. He's a great friend. Everybody needs a friend like him. He had a word for me. He's one of those people, I don't know whether you have them, but you'll just be in conversation and then they'll suddenly say, can I just pray for you? Or I just feel like God is saying this. And he's very, very, has a great prophetic gift. So I'm really challenged by his prophetic gift. And this is what happened. We were just kind of chatting, having a moment. And he just said to me, circumstances are circumstantial, but what God is doing in you is substantial. Circumstances are circumstantial. And I was like, what on earth does that mean? But it's been blowing my mind for the last 6 months, basically, and makes so much sense of what God has been teaching me over the last 5 years about discernment. Circumstances are circumstantial. Discernment, we get caught up in the idea that discernment is about bringing specific decisions to the Lord. Should I work here? Should I take this job? What should I study? Where should I live? And we can bring those to the Lord, and we should bring those decisions to the Lord. But I can get caught up in wanting a particular option, and I end up closing myself off to other options because they don't appear to be the perfect solution to what I want. I was helping a friend discern what to do after she left design community, actually, when I'd already left the community, and then she left a few years later, and she was discerning. She'd applied for a number of jobs. She'd had a couple of interviews, but nothing seemed right. Then, this one particular job came along. It was the right location, in the right area of work. It sounded perfect. It would answer everything that she'd been seeking for the previous month. And we were getting closer and closer to the day when she left the community, and she's like, this has got to be it. This is it. This is the one the Lord wants for me. And then she didn't get it. And she was devastated. And she was like, I don't understand. It was perfect. And I said to her, I was like, well, who said it was perfect? She's like, did the Lord ever actually say to you, this is the job, this is it? And she was like, oh no, actually I hadn't thought about that. And in her mind it was perfect, but it wasn't what the Lord wanted for her. And actually, further down the line, it actually came literally like a week before she left the community, an even more perfect job and perfect location came up, and that was the one the Lord had for her. And it was amazing, but she had to trust that. And we have to look deeper sometimes for the motivations and the desires in our hearts that are placed there by God to lead us to Him. Because all the things in our hearts, sorry, tapping my microphone, all the things in our hearts that we love to do, that bring us joy, all the things we're good at, all the desires that we have to be fulfilled and to be loved and to be known, all of that is placed in us to draw us back to the Lord that placed the desire there in the first place. And just after Easter this year, when I was in the middle of kind of trying to come understand this circumstances and circumstantial words that had been given to me, I was doing a day of guided prayer for another friend. She was feeling really stuck in her spiritual life. She was finding it tough at her job because of a mismatch in vision with her new line manager. But every time she prayed, all she had was a vision of a mountain in front of her, a mountain that she felt she was going to have to climb. And as we talked on this day of prayer, it came out that she was scared of the mountain. She was scared of the single, narrow path up the steep mountain that she wasn't sure she was up to the challenge, and she wasn't sure that her husband was going to be able to come with her. And I felt inspired by the Holy Spirit, and I just asked her in her imagination, because at this point she was imagining the mountain and telling me about it. So I asked her in her imagination to just turn around and see what was behind her. And it was incredible. She started describing a forest with beautiful tall trees stretching out as far as the eye could see. And there was a sense of lots of different pathways, and that she only needed to know how to get to the first clearing, and then the next part of the path would become clear. And there began to grow this sense of anticipation and excitement in her. She'd never thought about the fact that the mountain might not be the only way until she turned around. And we started talking about what she wanted her life to look and feel like, devoid of circumstances. So not the actual job, not the actual location, not the actual field even of work. What were the values that she wanted other people to be able to realise that she lived by in the name of faith and in the name of the Lord? And she started talking about things like compassion, being a safe space for people to come and talk to, wanting to accept and welcome people and help people to thrive, to nurture people. Lots and lots of different things about the way she wanted to live, not about the circumstances of her life, but the way she wanted her life to look and feel. And three months later, just before the summer, her decision was made, and she just started 2 weeks ago to study to become a mental health nurse. Now, that wasn't on the radar at all. It wasn't even in the back of her mind that it was a possibility when we had that prayer day. It came up, and she recognised that that opportunity was going to allow her to live out what God was calling her to. It fulfilled everything that she had written down on that day. And it wasn't even a possibility or a thought at that time when she had written it down. And I think that's just incredible. So amazing and incredible. And because when we begin to look at those deeper rooted desires of our heart, what we want our life to look and feel like, we have something to measure our lives and our decisions by that is not going to change. Because circumstances change all the time and they make us feel different. But those, if we can grasp hold of some of those deep rooted desires about the values that we live, they're not going to change. And so we have a firm rootedness to measure decisions. Is this opportunity going to allow me to be more the person that God is calling me to be? And as we do that, we also free ourselves up from holding on to a particular way of those desires being fulfilled. And God can fulfill them in unexpected ways. Because God is the God of the unexpected. We all know that. I'm sure we can all think of a time in our life when we're like, oh, that's a bit of a curveball. Thank you, Lord. You know? And, God fulfills all sorts of things in unexpected ways. And this happened to me. I was on sabbatical 3 years ago. And I felt God asking me to think about a few questions. To explore where and when do I feel most alive and most myself? Those were the questions. And I found them really difficult to answer. And I went through a big moment with the Lord about not being qualified to do anything other than youth ministry, which I was kind of right royally fed up with at the time. Having been on sabbatical, I was almost at burnout before I took my sabbatical. And I was like, but Lord, I'm not qualified to do anything else. And I came to terms with it. I was praying with the story of Peter at the beautiful gate from Acts, where he heals the beggar. And he says, I have neither silver nor gold, but I'll give you what I do have in the name of Jesus, walk. And I realized in my heart that that's all I had, that actually it wasn't about being qualified to do youth ministry even. It was that actually the only thing I ever had to give people was that I knew God's love, or I thought I knew God's love. You know, I had an experience of God's love that I wanted to share with others. I have not neither silver nor gold, but I'll give you what I do have. I'll tell you about Jesus. And it was after that I got a job working part-time for Sainsbury's. God was like, just get on with life for a while, don't worry about it too much. And I ended up as a Sainsbury's delivery driver. And I never thought I'd love it as much as I did, even the 4 a.m. starts at work. And God taught me so much there through meeting a little boy called Leo and his mum. God taught me that I love to connect with people on a deeper level. To show them their dignity by listening to them and receiving them fully. Through being asked to lead inductions for new staff, God taught me that I love to teach and share wisdom and knowledge with others. Through becoming a team leader, God taught me a lot of humility and the fact that actually the example of leadership that I had in that place was not the way that I wanted to live my leadership. And God told me that life wasn't made for work. Work was made to enhance life. My friend Sarah says, part-time work equals full-time life. And that's what I found. You know, I wasn't consumed by my work in the way that others were. It was just a means to be able to do everything else in my life. And Sainsbury's, when the time came, was never going to win out over anything else in my life. All that time I was taking notice of what God was doing, how God was moving in my heart. To cut a long story short, at Christmas things got very difficult. I was thinking that it was time to move on, to leave, but I wasn't sure where to go, what to do. And then in January, about a month later, Sainsbury's announced a big management shakeup and that I was being made redundant. And I had to, so the Lord forewarned me of that, which was great. I had to decide whether to reapply for a management position or to take redundancy. And I went on a prayer day, I explored a few options, I was actively seeking what God was inviting me into. But it wasn't until one day at work I got an email on my phone at work. I work very closely with Jenny Baker, who coordinates all the celebrates, and this year we had a celebrate weekend in Canada. And Jenny emailed me and said, do you want to come to Canada in July for celebrate? And I was like, yes, take me to Canada, I want to go, I love to travel, I'm there. I didn't even think about it, I just replied straight away and was like, yes, I'm there. And in the back of my mind, I was like, oh, I've got some holiday booked in July. I'll just make sure it's that week that we're there. And I went home and I thought, no, this is a bigger moment than that. And I thought, why? Well, I don't want to be caught up anymore with having to think about holidays and work commitments when God is asking me something. I want to be able to say yes. I need to be more available to the Lord. And so that was the day I decided that I was going to leave. I was going to take redundancy. And I went into work the next day. I've never been so happy and so free. Like for months, honestly, for months, it had just slowly been grinding me down. But that was what I measured the decision by, was my availability to the Lord. Because many, many moons ago, I made a promise to the Lord that where he leads me, I will follow. And I was starting to say no. And I couldn't say no anymore. I needed to say yes. And that's what I measured my decision by. Not by the circumstances. Everyone was like, you're mental. They desperately want you in a management position. It's better money. You still don't only have to work 4 days a week. Like, you know, they're taking some responsibilities off you so it will be easier. You're mental. Like, people genuinely thought I was absolutely a lunatic for leaving. But that's not what I measured my decision by. It couldn't be what I measured my decision by. So I put in place some meetings, some discussions with very close friends, good counsel. It's important to have people that will give you good counsel, good advice. And I discerned that the Lord was inviting me to step out and to be more missionary. So just to be more available to him, not to take another job. My mum couldn't quite get it in her head. She was like, oh, this job's come up as like a part-time university chaplain for 2 days a week. And I was like, no, that's still having a job that is gonna restrict me and not, you know, she couldn't quite understand. I'm still not sure that she still really understands, but she's getting there. To fundraise my salary, so that I could be free to just go where the Lord invites. So I have lots and lots of mission partners who donate money to me to live, to be able to do my mission. And I started writing a letter to look at our inviting mission partners, and I was really struggling to find my voice. And in that, I have to discern and I have to pray and say, okay, God, then if you are calling me to be missionary, what's my mission? And this is what I wrote. I believe that God is raising up a generation of radical disciples who want to live kingdom values every moment of every day as they pursue the presence of God in their lives and seek for the kingdom to break through in the world around them. They are people of integrity who seek to gain influence for the building up of God's kingdom in all spheres of life and work, marriage, religious life, education, business, politics, media, and the arts. I also believe that this generation are overwhelmed by the life choices ahead of them and are crying out for people to walk alongside them as they discern how God is moving and what he is asking of them. I am utterly convinced that relationship is what transforms people's hearts and minds, and I feel called to be one of those people who walk alongside them in intentional relationship. My heart is for helping people to explore the personal call God has for them so that they are able to live out his will for their lives and relationships. I love the privilege of walking alongside people and helping to draw out their God-given potential and gifts. That's what my life is about. That is now how I measure my discernment. Does it allow me to do that? Does an opportunity or a decision or a relationship allow me to make time for people, to make time for God, to make time for myself, to make time for intentional relationships and to draw out the best in myself and others? I said earlier that one of the things, one of the only two things that is ours to bring to the Lord is our will. And surrendering to God's will means not only laying down my life and saying yes, but it means laying down what I thought life was going to look like. And it means laying down my need to understand as well, because I don't always understand what God is doing. And I've been coming to terms for a long time with the fact that my life doesn't look anything like I thought it would when I would be 34. But somewhere deep inside of me, I get excited every time I think about the mission that God has placed on my life. It's what gets me up in the morning. It's what drives me. It's what makes me determined to not miss my opportunity to work for the Lord. And when I first moved to St. Albans, you'll be glad I'm almost done. When I first moved to St. Albans, I was on sabbatical, and so I specifically didn't get involved with anything in the parish. But this year I'd really been praying and felt like I should volunteer for the Alpha team. So we had our first meeting on Thursday, and my small group is so lovely. I just praise the Lord. But it was just wonderful. But there was a man in my Alpha group, and he just surprised me with something that he said. One of the questions that you always ask on the first session of Alpha is, if there turns out to be a God, because they don't presume anything, if there turns out to be a God and you could ask him one question, what would it be? And a couple of people had said things, you know, like, well, what about suffering? What about this? What about that? And then this man, Peter, turns to me and says, I'm 82 on my next birthday. And I want to know, have I left it too late to find my purpose in life? I was just blown away. I was blown away. Have I left it too late? The answer is no. Praise the Lord, the answer is no. None of us have left it too late. God always has something new, something different, something deeper for us as we walk with him. He still has unique fruit for each of us to bear in the world in his name. As we receive God's mercy even deeper into our own lives, it changes us. It changes everything. We begin to see the world His way. Our hearts begin to break for the things that break God's heart, for things in the world that are not as they should be. It might be for the poor, it might be unity, it might be, for me, people who don't know God's love. My heart breaks for them. I physically ache for them to know God's love for them. My friend, she's a nurse, she cries when she thinks about the poor and the sick and the housebound and just desperately wants to care for them. That's God. That's God breaking our hearts for the things in the world that are not as they should be. God desperately wants us to feel passion and to feel His love and His mercy for those around us, to be changed and to take that change and transform the world. To open our eyes to the possibilities of the world when we live life with the Lord. So are we attentive to the movement of the Spirit in our hearts? Are we in touch with the deeper desires of what we want our lives to look like? Not the circumstances, but those values. Are we willing to let go and allow God to fulfill them in unexpected ways, ways that we might not have imagined? What is our unique fruit? What is my unique fruit? What aspects of God's character am I called to live out in the world? Am I called to live out God's acceptance, God's mercy, God's joy, God's peace? Might be lots of different things. Character, like the character of God lived out in the world. And God sometimes challenges us. One of the things that God's been challenging me on is stepping out in words of knowledge. I went to a training day with Sean Bowles. I don't know if any of you have heard of him. He's an American pastor who has the most incredible ministry of words of knowledge. He can like tell people their birthdays, like, and things like that. God is just so present for him, speaks so specifically to him about the people that he meets. So, and he said, yeah. But anyway, I was praying. God's been challenging me on this. So I was praying this morning during worship, and I was like, Lord, just want some words of knowledge, and we'll just throw them out there. So I got four. They might all be completely wrong, and that's fine. I don't mind. I'm just being obedient and faithful to what the Lord has asked. But if this is you, then I really encourage you to go for some prayer during. We're going to have adoration and some prayer ministry in a minute. And just really encourage you to go and meet with the Lord in some prayer ministry and think about these. So, first of all, I felt that there was somebody here, and it had been a long time since your last encounter with the Lord, and you've been begging God to feel His presence again. And I felt Him say that He hears you and He wants to meet with you today. So I don't know who that is, but somebody who's been a long time, I'm talking years, years and years since you have really felt the Lord and you've been begging Him for His presence. Then I had the word family and the sense of an estranged family member, so a breakdown in relationship, specifically a son who is about to have a child of their own. And God wants to do something about that relationship today. I also had a sense of a burden of intercession. So every time, this is someone specific, every time you watch the news or speak to someone, your heart aches to pray for them. And you've even been woken up in the middle of the night to pray for something in particular. And just a real feeling that God wants to open that up for you and empower your prayers and release an anointing in that area. And then the final one was about moving. Had a picture of a car driving along a motorway coming out of East Anglia, going I don't know where, but a long distance, and that you've not told anyone yet that this could be on the cards. It's to do with job or work, that are moved in the offing, not sure about it, and feeling that God said the clarity will come at the right time. Be patient and attentive. So, those are just words that the Lord asked me to share. So if they are you, then please come and speak to me or go and speak to one of the prayer ministry teams during adoration. But for now, I'd love to just close just with a prayer. So I invite you all just to close your eyes for a moment. Father, we thank you for your amazing love, for your endless mercy, for your great faithfulness, that you are good. You're so good. And we thank you that you are already at work in the world around us. We pray that you would open our eyes. Open our eyes to see where we need to experience you more deeply. Open our eyes to see where you're at work around us and how you're inviting us to join in. Now we pray for courage. Courage to take risks for you, to take risks for our faith, to take risks for the kingdom, to break through and bring healing and wholeness and peace and mercy and love to those that desperately need it in our world, to a world that is broken and fallen and seeking meaning and seeking purpose, seeking something, but they don't know what. Renew us and refresh us, Lord. Many of us feel tired and like we've been at this for so long and seen so little fruit. May we see the fruit of our prayers and our faithfulness as we move deeper into the way that your Spirit is working in us and through us and in the world around us. And we make these prayers in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
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 I'd really like to thank them for opening up this whole subject of being aware of God moving in our lives and doing it in such a practical way so that we can see this is the real world. These are some suggestions. Well, we're going into a time of prayer ministry, and Robin's just going to come. Rob organises the prayer ministry for our days. He's going to mention a few things. Something for anybody who's not experienced this before.
Just do something. Do you need time to get going? Yeah, you do that. Gradually. Yeah, but at this point.